Well, good morning. My name is Noel Walker. I'm one of the ministers of the Tintern Church of Christ, and it is my pleasure to bring you a message this morning from John chapter 17, part of Jesus' last address to his disciples. In John 17, it's late on Thursday night, the last day before Jesus was crucified. And Jesus knows that he will soon be leaving his disciples to fulfill his mission, and he wants them to be prepared for what is about to take place. Jesus knows that he's leaving, and Jesus knows the manner of his leaving. He knows the pain of his departure and the trauma that it's going to cause his disciples. Like a parent that knows the pain of the needle his child is about to receive, or a parent who knows the pain of resetting a broken bone that hasn't healed properly. In the same way, Jesus grieves his leaving and the pain that it's going to cause his disciples. Jesus has been teaching his disciples since the beginning of chapter 14 in John's Gospel about his nature, about his mission, and about their role and their future in all of this. So here in John chapter 17, Jesus prays for them. And as a result, in a way, he teaches them how to pray. This is kind of like a second Lord's Prayer, if you will. It's different than the example prayer that we read in Luke chapter 11. And yet there's so much for us to learn here. So what does Jesus pray for? Interestingly, Jesus doesn't pray that it's going to be easy. This world is held captive by a spirit that is alien to God's spirit. This world is animated by a sense of scarcity instead of abundance, by a spirit of fear instead of a spirit of courage, and by selfishness rather than the sacrificial love of Jesus. We can see, however, in chapter 17, that Jesus, the one that comes to bring abundant life, doesn't run away in the face of danger, but instead, he lays down his life for the sheep, and offers an alternative spirit, an alternative view of reality. And this is the reason that the world, which is the Greek word cosmos, it's John's favorite choice of word when he's describing the spirit and the power that is hostile to God's intention to love and to redeem all. The world hates Jesus and will hate those who follow him. So Jesus doesn't pray that it's going to be easy, but rather, Jesus prays that God will support the disciples amid their challenges and that they will be one in fellowship with each other and with Jesus and the Father through the Spirit. But Jesus doesn't just pray for his disciples back then. Jesus also prays on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word that it may be done. You see that in verse 20. 21. Well, who are these other disciples? They're us. We are the believers who have followed the teaching and the example of other disciples. We have followed the example and the teaching of Hiro and Megumi, of Joel and Kristen, the teachings of other brothers and sisters in the church in Mito. We have followed the example of someone who has followed the example of someone else who has, in their own way, followed the example of other followers of Jesus. It's a chain of disciples that goes back 2,000 years and links us back up to the first followers of Jesus who gathered around that Passover table on Thursday night, holding our breath as Jesus announces his departure and promises the coming gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the profound thoughts out of this text is that Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, the night before he would be nailed to a cross, in that moment, Jesus prayed for you, and Jesus prayed for me. He prayed that we would find God's support and God's encouragement, that we would find oneness with God through spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible study. He prayed that we would seek the fellowship of our fellow brothers and sisters in worship on Sunday and also on other days of the week. He prayed that we would be unified, which is different than uniformity. I don't know entirely how this gets translated into Japanese, but in English we have difficulty appreciating unity and uniformity. Now, unity is not having the same opinion about everything, agreeing on every question of doctrine and theology. Rather, unity is the wholehearted devotion to one thing of most importance, Jesus Christ being Lord of heaven and earth and being King over all of creation. Jesus prayed that we would find common ground with other believers in the midst of our different opinions, that we would find common ground with other churches all over Japan and all over the world. Jesus prayed in part that the Tintern Church and the Mito Church would share in ministry together and someday have fellowship together with the one Spirit that inhabits us all, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't pray that our Christian life would be easy. Jesus didn't pray that we would be without challenges or without struggles. Jesus didn't ask God the Father to eliminate sacrifices that would be necessary to be a follower of Jesus. Instead, Jesus prayed for us to be united with one another and also to be completely one with God. In verse 11, Jesus anticipates his absence by praying for his disciples, his ambassadors, when he says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as you and I are one." In this, Jesus is counting on us to be his presence in the wake of his absence. When we were baptized, we followed Jesus, not just imitating his baptism, but symbolizing his death, his burial, and his resurrection in our own baptism. In the same way that Jesus died on the cross and was buried in a tomb, and then later came back from the dead, our baptism imitates that burial going under the water and resurrection coming out of the water. Someday we too will die, and that we will be buried temporarily, only to come back to life when Jesus returns. In the meantime, we are Jesus' ambassadors. Our hands and our feet belong to Jesus as we live and serve the way he did. We are to be his presence in the world, which means that this place is holy ground. As a result, the presence of God is constantly cropping up around us in the work of ordinary people that God has sent along our path. The place where you are is the very place that God has sent you. The job that you're doing right now is the job that God has chosen you to do in this phase of your life. Jesus has invited you to go and be his hands and his feet in the ordinariness of your own life. Author Barbara Brown Taylor wrote, "People are so willing to look all over the place to find God and the sacred. They'll spend hours launching prayers up into heaven. They will travel halfway around the world to visit monasteries in India or take part in a mission trip to Belize. The last place most people look is right under their own feet, right here in Mito, in the everyday activities, in the everyday accidents, and in the everyday encounters of your life. God is present. You are that presence." A friend of mine, Jory, just a few years older than me, has over the past 4 years lost her husband, Earl, to Alzheimer's disease. He's just a few years older than I am, but now he's unable to communicate, unable to complete the simplest of tasks. In just a few years, he has disappeared, and he's been replaced by a man who looks like him, but cannot speak, cannot feed or dress himself. And in the midst of all the challenges of COVID, Jory has moved her husband into a long-term care facility to help with his everyday care. Now, this might seem like a hopeless situation, but on the days that I visit him, I see a remarkable sight. Jory is there looking after her husband, and that's not what's remarkable, but she invites her friends to join her when she visits, and they visit Earl and serve the needs of others that live in the home. So the last time that I was there at lunchtime, and there were two other friends there visiting. One was, one was feeding Earl his lunch, while another one was just talking to another patient that was sitting at the table where we sat. When it was time for dessert, we went up to the counter, we got fruit cocktail and Jell-O, and we served the other patients in our section. There were only three staff in that section of the home to assist with lunch, but with the three of us visiting, that was six people. Now, don't get me wrong, there's of course services that we can't help with, that we can't do medications, or we can't do other services, but we can serve Jell-O. We can help patients have conversations. We can be the hospitable presence of Jesus. Jory has prayed about her situation with her husband Earl for many years. And rather than praying that the suffering would end, she's now praying that God would reveal to her, show to her how God is at work in the situation. And God has answered that prayer. She said once, if Earl wasn't here, I wouldn't visit this place. But since I'm here, I can be of some help to others. And our friends and people at church can help too. We can serve in the name of Jesus. Some of the patients on Earl's unit never get visitors, but now that Earl is there, now they do. In Jesus' prayer, he says to us, I'm no longer physically in the world, but you are. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. Jesus prays that we will remain awake to this reality, that we will know that we are the ones in the world, a world that God loves very much. And when we realize this, we become the answer to Jesus' prayer. Maybe you find yourself caring for aged parents, and it's hard work, but it's also good work, because how else can you give back to them all the care that they have given to you? In that moment, Jesus is present, and it's a holy moment. You can see how sacred life is. When someone lingers after worship service on Sunday to spend an extra moment with someone that's having a hard time, Jesus is present, and you can see how sacred life is in that moment. Here in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples, but he's also praying to them. He wants them to hear what he has to say to God. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I have been glorified in them. And now, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Verses 10 and 11. When Jesus faced his greatest test, he prayed for you. And when you serve others in the name of Jesus, you become the answer to Jesus' prayer. Praise God. Amen.
Yeah. 喜びまた